We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
It's Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Rentist Von Dentist, R. Von Don. That would be Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
These just keep coming, and they get better.
They really are.
They're like a fine
good wine. I'm enjoying them.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have a particular favorite. I just like the variety of them.
Yeah, we've had like Rundle Von Dundle. Yeah. Like some of them don't even make any sense.
A lot of them don't.
But it's fun.
A lot of them don't, but it's fun and it's free to play. So if anybody
it's
at home wants to play along, you really just need an R name, Von, D name, which has to be the same.
Rhyme
as
it with a D.
It has to be the same as the R name. Very simple. Ryan, we did a story today for Kiefer Madness about a gentleman who, you know how people give stuff up for Lent? Like they decided to give
sure.
stuff up. Well, this sure. guy, for 46 days, he's tagging on an extra six, I guess, for some reason. Either way, for 46 days, he is only drinking beer.
Just that's it.
That's
no
it.
Water, no
and
soda,
only
no ginger ale.
No food either. Like no,
oh,
like
wow.
no food, but the only intake he has is beer. And through the first 6 days, he's apparently lost over 13 pounds.
That's not true, is it?
Well, that's what his Instagram says. We were following along. So let me ask you this. If
sure.
you could only eat or drink one thing for 46 days and throw water out, because water is the one thing that you'd probably
sure.
be able to survive with.
Sure.
Like, is there anything that you think you could do for 46 days? And that would be the only thing. So it's not like, oh, I have coffee every day. It's like, no shit. But you'd have to, starting now until
only drink coffee.
Only, yeah, that's it.
And no, so if I pick a drink, if I pick a food, that's it. If
that's
I pick a drink,
food,
that's it.
If that's the, right. No combos.
I think I could do, well, the obvious answer is ginger ale. I think I could go ginger ale for 46 straight days if that would sustain me and I don't die, right? That's like,
yeah, because that's the other thing too is like, I mean, there's obvious, if you pick a food, wouldn't you die without water? Like you need, unless the food is like a fucking
yeah.
orange.
I think the caveat is like, you don't die.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you can do this
yeah.
for 46 days and
you don't die.
Oh, man. I had Shake Shack yesterday.
Oh, I like Shake Shack. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That's pretty good stuff.
I could have a Smoke Shack. What's they call it? A Smoke Shack burger?
That'd be pretty good.
I could do that for 46
That's
days.
A nice kind of workaround, too. Because if you're like, oh, I'll only have cheeseburgers, because then you're getting cheese, you're getting a burger, you're getting a bun,
yeah.
and you're getting, that's kind of a nice thing.
I also like a good jerkied beef.
Oh, yes.
You know, so
that could help you out.
That would be
and
good.
You know, that'll
pack
last.
You some protein.
You know, you lose power,
yeah.
no big deal.
Yeah, and then ginger ale.
The correct answer, Ryan, is an all-you-can-eat buffet. No,
that's right.
It's just
old country buffet,
right.
or whatever the hell
where
it is.
Where you have American cuisine, Chinese cuisine, Japanese cuisine, and Italian cuisine all in one place.
It's like you're like a world traveler.
That's pretty good.
In one
all
building,
in just one spot. So there you go. So that's that. Ryan, let's get to the news. A good week or so into hashtag Dork Madness for A Quest for Peace, and very controversial bracket to crown the.
I was going
to
say the Quest for Peace aspect of this has been thrown completely out the window because people are not happy with
us. And by the way, at the time that we're recording this, the first round is still going on. We're into the last few matchups now into the classics region. And for all the shit that we got about seeding, there's been like two upsets. like all this seeding and like. We seeded it kind of how we thought like people might, you know, what the better matchups would be. Not necessarily all my personal favorites, but just sort of what the matchups would be. The sports division, top eight seeds won. The fighting and shooter, the nine beat the eight, but I actually voted for the nine. That was Apex over Fortnite. And then the rest of the top seeds advanced. And then the RPG action, the nine and the 10 won, but all the other top seeds won.
So I don't understand what the big deal is. Well, the big deal that people had or saw was the snubs. We did have a couple snubs.
Sure, you're going to have snubs. You're going to have
snubs. Again, we combined two completely different genres of games.
Right.
Like if we opened it up, like,
yeah,
you know, I think one of the people was coming at me that Half-Life wasn't on the list, which is like, that,
Half-Life
yeah,
is on the
like
list. No, Half-Life is on the list.
Oh no, they were like, it was like a 15 seed. I'm like, well,
yeah, tough apples.
You got to think of it. Like, since we mixed those two genres, right. Like it's like 7 of 8.
That was super close
for shooters.
Overwatch beat Half-Life 52% to 48. That was super.
And I
close.
Voted for Half-Life.
That was razor thin. I voted for Overwatch.
Cause I hate Overwatch now. Kind of.
You're upset. I had a nice little go last night. Won a few games. Felt pretty good. Got back in the old saddle again.
Must be nice. Are you in gold or are you in silver?
Nope, I'm in silver because I had a terrible qualifying run. It was awful. It made me want to hug the game.
Well, it doesn't matter because you could have a great qualifier and still wind up in silver. You can go 8-2.
That's true.
Or 8-1-1 in a qualifier and still wind up in silver like I did.
I went 3-7 and it was just a disaster performance. Yeah. Right now, and by the time this is out, this result will probably be in, but the 13 seed Contra is currently defeating the 4 seed Castlevania, which is a surprise to me.
Surprise. Yeah. A Konami on Konami matchup.
People were excited about it. People were excited. So, again, head over to @DorkPodcast on Twitter, and you can vote for that throughout the entire month. Ryan, you like casting news, don't you? Movie casting news?
Sure enough.
Well, that's good, because Suicide Squad 2, I know one of your favorite upcoming sequels, they lost Will Smith. No Will Smith as Deadshot. You say, well, that's too bad. You can't do better than that. Wrong. You can do better than that. His name is Idris Elba. Stringer Bell himself is joining the cast of Suicide Squad 2.
Which I'm told, other than the fact that Harley Quinn is in this, played by Margot Robbie, that it's a soft reboot.
Oh.
So they're like, no. They're rebooting a movie they made like 2 years ago?
Well, Desperate Times, Ryan, called for desperate measures. And that was a film that did not do all that well. Although one host on this podcast gave it a 4 or 4.5, I think, after seeing it in the theater.
And spoiler, want me.
It won't you. No, it was not.
Want me.
That was one I'd like to have over. I'd like to have that one back. If
that's your mulligan?
Yeah.
For all of our movie reviews?
Yeah. I wanted to like it so bad. But anyway.
Do you know what? Can I make you feel better? You know, if I had to do one over, you know what it would be?
Happy Time Murders?
Nope.
Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom?
You got it.
Yeah, see? You like it. You're liking it now.
I would give it a 3 instead of a 2, or whatever the hell I gave it.
You're coming around on that story. It's on HBO right now if you want to check it out.
I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to watch it again and, like, get angry.
Dino action. Ryan, we got a new trailer for Brightburn. This is the what if Superman was evil type of sitch.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good. You got Roy from The Office and Elizabeth Banks playing the parents of the kid. I'm intrigued. I don't know if it's a theater movie for me yet, but I am intrigued.
I don't know. I think it's... This is one of those... I have a feeling that the trailer is way better than the actual movie.
Ooh, Suicide Squad-esque. Could be.
Yep.
Could be. Another trailer we saw, Ryan, was Aladdin, and I'll tell you what. Will Smith doesn't look as fucking crazy as he did before.
You know, people went in hard and fixed that too. Like someone's like,
I don't,
you gotta think, I always think of like the layers that has to go through for people to say, okay. And like how many, like who missed that? You know,
the whole crew,
everybody
in charge.
Like who said that looks really good?
I don't think the movie will be good. I'm just saying my takeaway is that looked better than the first go around.
You think with all of Disney's money, they wouldn't have issues like that.
No,
you know?
I know. But listen, people have, just like in anything, the great Joshua Adams, who had a cosplay documentary and was kind enough to spend a few minutes with us at Boston Comic Con a couple years ago, to quote or paraphrase the great Joshua Adams, like anything in life, you're going to have problems.
I actually want a copy of his movie. We got to reach out to him and see if we can get it. And then we review it.
I absolutely agree with you. We need to reach out. And by the way, that whole entire interview is still on our YouTube channel. It's shot in like 4K by Davey.
Sorry.
And I sit there with that. No, it's fine. That's what I look like. Yeah. What are you going to do? And so right there with Joshua Adams, if that doesn't make you feel good, I don't know what does. That guy just fucking loves cosplay so much. But he wasn't even
into
cosplay.
You know what I'm drawn to? I'm drawn to every time I watch that, because I've watched it a handful of times back
of
again.
Of course.
The hole in his shirt.
He has a hole in his shirt. Like
is it like a blatant hole in his shirt. And he's like, but that's like his A outfit. Like he went to like a top tier convention and he's like, this is the shirt I'm wearing today.
That guy was the man. He was absolutely the man. So I'd love to talk to him again. People always say that, like, if you could interview anybody, who would it be? Joshua Adams, second time
around. Okay, let me ask you this. Real hard-hitting question here. If you knew that Joshua Adams was going to be at PAX, would you go?
I would sneak in, like, PFT commentator and our commentator, El Prez, at the media night.
We should, next year at PAX, show up in, like, mustaches and glasses.
We should. Like, we had our pass. Just it's under under the shishin. The shishin? What?
The shishin.
It's fine. Just let us in.
Japan 4.
What? It's fine.
It's fine.
So, yeah, if I knew Josh Adams was at PAX, I would have to break in there. But guess what? I'm not going to PAX, and neither should you, listening audience.
I'm not.
Don't go to PAX. I know you're not because you're a good guy. Everybody else listening, I don't know how I feel about you yet. Think about yourself. Look yourself in the mirror and say, do I really want to do this? If you're considering giving that fucking place a dime, think about it. Think about it.
We might not know how we feel about you right now, but if you go to PAX, we certainly know.
Oh, you're off. You're out. You're out. Ryan, I have TV news for you. A show that you've never seen, but it's pretty good. It's called The Sinner. Was picked up for a season 3 by USA. This is the show that stars Bill Pullman.
Sure.
Not Bill Paxton. I believe he's a pick of the pod. So Bill
Pullman.
Season 1 had Jessica Biel. Season 2 had Carrie Coon. Pretty messed up show. He's a cop or a detective or whatever. It's good. I would never associate USA with shows other than, you know, Monday Night Raw and Pacific Blue, but
or like Suits. That's the one that people are like are like super excited about, or like Rizzoli and Isles or whatever. No, that Hammer.
Rizzoli and Isles, TNT.
What was the Franklin and Bash? Is that one of theirs?
That's TNT too, I think. I think that's a TNT. It's very similar though.
Who cares?
But The Sinner's not bad. Check out The Sinner. I think it might be on Netflix still.
So is Bill
Paxton?
Pullman. Bill Paxton?
Bill Romanowski. No, it's Bill Pullman.
It's Bill Pullman. Is he like the link between the three seasons? Because I know like one was Jessica Biel, and then it was somebody else. So he's like the link.
Yeah, it is.
Carrie Coon. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How could I?
He is the one guy that's in all of these. But they had basically completely different casts season to season, except for him. So
right.
There is going to be a Riverdale spinoff. Well, proposed spinoff starring Katie Keene. Well, Katie Keene's the character from the Archie comics, played by Lucy Hale. And it's going to actually not take place in Riverdale. It's going to take place in New York City. And the actress who plays Josie from Josie and the Pussycats in Riverdale apparently is also going to be in the show, which is kind of odd. So it's going to take place maybe like the college years, because right now all the Riverdale characters are in high school. Yeah, this seems kind of convoluted.
So hold up. Lucy Hale is on Riverdale and she's playing a high school student?
Lucy Hale is not on Riverdale. She is going to play a spinoff character who has not been in Riverdale, but was in the comics named Katie Keene.
Well, she's also like 30 years old. So I don't know how that's going to work.
She's going to play probably like a 20 somethings is my guess. No, she's not playing. My biggest issue is they need to combine Riverdale and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and they haven't done that. And that's bothersome, but that's just me, Ryan. Yeah. What do I know?
You know your teen dramas, I'll tell you that.
I do know my teen dramas. And that's all the news, Ryan.
So listen to this. So I just looked it up. Lucy Hale is 29 years old, and we share a birthday.
Oh my God, happy early birthday to both you guys. That's great.
How about that?
That's great.
Oh, speaking of that, someone has not to timestamp this, but someone has a birthday coming up on Friday, don't they?
Sure does. I'll give everybody my Venmo at the end of the episode if they want to send me anything.
There you go.
You guys can shoot me a few bucks. Just make me feel better.
29 again, right?
Actually, no, Ryan. It's a milestone birthday. I'm going to finally be able to legally run for president, which I'm super excited about.
There you go.
You know, it's just been sort of one of those things I would whisper about, but obviously everybody knew I couldn't run. But now, you know my politics. I'm going to just come up there.
No, I don't, because you don't know your politics.
What are you going to do? Ryan,
what are you going
to
do?
That's the way the news goes. Let's get to your news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do you have?
Oh, we got a good one today, Richard.
That's right.
I alluded to this today. So it turns out that the rapper Soulja Boy is in a little bit of hot water. And I know you're thinking, like, this is Davey's video game minute. What does this have to do with Soulja Boy? Well, it is very well documented that Soulja Boy is a video game enthusiast. He made waves. The very first video game video he made on YouTube, he was basically ripping apart the game Braid, which is one of the best indie games ever made, and Soulja Boy just didn't get it. So if you have, so it was like,
I'll check it
he's
out.
He's like, this game has no point. Like, all you do is this. And like, you like rewind time. Like, he didn't get like the actual point of the game. So he made the game developer Jonathan Blow very upset with this video. Soulja. But it turns out that Soulja Boy has been, he created his own game console. Called the Soulja Game Console.
Okay.
And the issue with it is it has been pulled from the market, Richard, because basically what he was selling for $150 or $100 a pop was basically just emulators. Like, it looked like an Xbox, but it played games from like any other console.
Yeah.
So he made these with a Chinese company, and they've been pulled from the market, and he just said, his tweet said,
and I quote,
I had to boss up. I didn't have a choice. Was his choice as how, why this thing failed. But he said in January 2019, the esports team, he's launching his own esports team as a way to bounce back from this bad news.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. He could use that.
So good for Soulja.
Right.
I hope he does bounce back with his new esports team. But the game console game is not for him.
Yeah.
So
today,
so there that is.
Redemption is spelled S-O-U-L-J-A.
Incredible. So I'm going to keep it under a minute today, cool. But that's what we got.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Soulja Boy, for that. Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
I'm sorry. I was still thinking of what you just spelled out.
That would be Soulja. I am talking today right now about the topic of the day, and that would be the number one movie in America and the world, Captain Marvel. It was a 2-hour and 4-minute film, currently rocking an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, with an audience score of 59%.
Yep.
Let's stop right there for a moment.
Stop right there.
People, or I guess simply dudes hate girls, question mark?
That's what it is. I mean, and it's all of these like right-wing nut jobs who like think that the institution of the American male is being challenged anytime that like there's a woman-led film.
Crazy.
I mean, these are the same idiots that critic bombed Ghostbusters.
Right.
Which is a fine movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but that's the thing is like people didn't even see it and they just go on to Rotten Tomatoes and they know how much weight Rotten Tomatoes carries now. And when you see commercials, like they only go with the critic score, but people log on to the site, they want to see what it is. And it was interesting because Black Panther got absolutely crushed as well. And it makes you feel really good about America when you see that Black Panther and Captain Marvel both get trashed by all these idiots online. Absolutely.
Which
ridiculous.
Is crazy because they say like the big knock on Marvel movies and Disney movies is that they pay people to review it well.
Yeah. Not enough.
So like
but think about
that's
this.
Like the big knock on
this.
Them, but
this movie has almost 56,000 user ratings.
That's crazy.
So that's just, and that the movie's been out less than a week and they have people diving on there that haven't even seen it. And then what I think you're also getting is the number was even lower than 59%. And so people are jumping on there trying to balance it out. I think it started like in the 30s. Like it was like,
yeah, it was like 29% or 30%. And then Rotten Tomatoes went in and like kicked out like all the bots, like all like the anonymous users. Yeah.
So my,
and then my, it's leveling out a little bit, but it's not perfect.
My theory is Captain Marvel hit sort of the negative perfect storm of both like the sexist people out there that are just like a woman in a lead role, like a superhero, like those people combined with, as we know, there's sort of an angry group of DC fans. And Captain Marvel, of course, was a DC character. In fact, Shazam is Captain Marvel, but they've lost the like licensing. And so Zachary Levi's even had to like come out a bunch of times on Twitter and be like, hey, there's room for both superheroes. Like everybody relax. Like he's seen all the shit. So I think it's DC fans and just like angry, stupid, idiot guys.
Right. And then they were angry that now Captain Marvel is the highest grossing movie with a female lead ever, surpassing Wonder Woman. So people were going
and then losing their minds over that.
And then Gal Gadot was like, it's fine.
Guys, that's great news.
Congratulations. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
Like, please stop.
It's so It's so bad. And it was funny because I tweeted out the other day from Keef 21, not from Dork Podcast, which is a safe haven, but from Keef 21, yes, which is a cesspool. I tweeted out, hey, just saw Captain Marvel, like full episode on Dork coming out this week. And one of the first comments was, are you going to explain to, I assume this is how he talks. He goes, are you going to explain to me why Captain Marvel was a woman? Let me guess. You thought it was great. I was like,
yeah, it was great.
It was pretty good. We'll get to it. However, you need more male superheroes?
Do you think that somehow having a woman star in this movie is like a challenge to your masculinity somehow?
Really weird. Like if you peel the layers back, it's kind of, and that's not what we do on this podcast, but just like thinking about it kind of quickly, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you in your life? It's one thing if you didn't like it, like I'm fine if you didn't like it, but tell me why. Don't tell me you didn't like it because it was a woman in a lead role. Like you'd think we'd be beyond this, but we're not. We're not.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the MCU has been out for 11 years. They have 21 movies and only one is led by a woman. So let's all relax.
Yeah. Like I don't under 5% of your movies are women.
If anything, people should be getting upset about that part of it. not the other way.
You know, they're strong female characters across. I don't understand like the hostility.
Yeah.
They're like, people are just angry. You know what I mean?
People are for sure angry.
I don't understand why.
People are for sure angry, especially when it comes to this type of shit and like anonymous reviews and like Twitter things and like, you know what I mean? Like Facebook comments. Like it's easy to be anonymous and a jackass, but anyway.
But in talking to you about like your radio your little radio program that you do, aside from this.
No, I know.
And
my part-time job.
Your part-time job. And like, you know, just about Twitch and like all that stuff is like, no one has a gun to your head, gun to your dick, and be like, you have to, like, if you don't want to see it, don't see it.
Oh, it's super easy to avoid.
If you don't want to listen, don't listen. Right. If you don't like this podcast, turn it off.
Super easy.
Unsubscribe.
Super easy.
I don't care.
Super easy to avoid it.
It's super easy to avoid it. Like, and like, is everything all right at home?
Chances are no. Like with a lot of those ones, chances are no. And like, it's one thing, and I don't want everybody, especially sports, but even with the Dork stuff, like you don't have to agree with me on everything. Like if you think Happy Time Murder sucks, first of all, you're wrong. But second of all, fine. Like we can have a back and forth on it, but it's the people that are just like, Captain Marvel never should have been made, or Black Panther. Are you kidding me? You're like, okay, stop right there. There is no conversation to be had. Like there, it's just, it's fucking arrogant and it's just ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah. It's that too. It's, uneducated, whatever you want to say. So for the rest of the podcast, we just had to get that out there. So for the rest of the podcast,
asinine.
It's asinine. We're just going to talk about the actual movie. And
let's do it.
But that was a part of it from the weekend and everything else. So let's go, as we always do, Ryan, spoiler free for Captain Marvel. Let's begin. Did you like it?
Sure did. Well, it was fine. I think it was good.
Let me ask you again.
Good, not great.
Let me ask you again, Ryan. Like you didn't know the goddamn.
That was a lot of, I said a lot of things.
Well, and 3, 2, 1. Did you like it?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I think like would be a great definition of it. I liked it.
I liked it.
I liked it. Yeah. I liked
it. A decent amount.
I liked it a decent amount as well. Now, for an origin story, we have seen, just to make this clear, again, this was the 21st MCU movie. It also happened to be, by my count, the 10th origin story. And in order, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America. I'm going to count Guardians of the Galaxy, even though it's sort of a group origin. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and Black Panther. So knowing that they can at times be a bit formulaic, and we've seen a lot of them so far, what did you think overall just of the origin story?
Like you said, it was pretty formulaic, pretty straightforward. Yeah. I was finding myself being like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, just get to the thing.
Right.
You know,
I felt that way too. Like it was like nothing. And this is a different kind of character for sure. Like this is, you know, you're starting to deal with like other planets and it's like otherworldly, all that other stuff. But she did a really good job. Like I'm really coming around on Brie Larson. Like I told you that last week.
She's a great actress. And we'll get to it in like action, that like was one in the of, acting and stuff. But
that was one of my takeaways though, actually watching it was like, man, like no surprise because of how successful they are. But if you look at the MCU, like heavy hitters, like, they have a lot of like Oscar winning and Oscar nominated, like legit actors and actresses now.
Yes.
But she was really good. What did you think of the action in the movie?
Not enough. I would have liked a little bit. People are like, oh, top to bottom, it was awesome. I'm like, it was good.
I feel like for that character with that skill set and that power set, like there could have been a little bit more, you know.
You got like the last 20 minutes or so of the movie, you finally got full go.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but. And this isn't a spoiler because like you see in like the trailer, even like her going like full on, you know, like when her eyes turn like look like the sun, and so you know she's capable of stuff like that. And I could have used. I mean, I know it was a 2-hour movie, but maybe like one more big fight sequence or action sequence or something like that, I think could have helped it.
Yeah.
What'd you make of the comedy of the film? And again, not comparing it to, you know, Dumb and Dumber or Old School, but comparing it to other MCU movies. How do you think it's stacked up?
It surprised me. I was very surprised by the comedy. There's stuff that I actually did like chuckle a little bit and like laughed out loud at times. And I was not expecting that.
There's one character specifically that really kind of carries the comedy.
Yes.
We'll get to. But yeah,
or two.
Or
two-ish.
Yeah, okay. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Like, I don't think it's as funny as Guardians or Ant-Man. But like all the other movies that kind of make you chuckle, like this is just in line with those.
Yeah, sure.
I would say. I also think it is quite a challenge to introduce a new character who you know is going to be a major part of Endgame after 11 years of movies. Like, you think about how many times we've seen Iron Man or Captain America on screen, and now you're like, oh shit, we need this character. Let's put this in right at the end of like phase four. Or is it phase three? Maybe it's the end of phase three.
End of phase three.
The very end of phase three will be Endgame. So you're like, we got to shoehorn her in. So considering that, I think they did as well as they could do.
Yeah, I think so. I think you needed to explain a lot in a very short amount of time to kind of get up to speed. Because there's, like you said, there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on. So we need to get her caught up as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I think they did a decent job of that.
I think so, too. And we'll talk about, you know, the time frame, too, you know, with everything and how most of this movie takes place in the 90s and how it all ties in and how it all connects. Where would you rank it out of the 21 movies? You don't have to give me an exact number, although at some point maybe we'll have to reset all of our rankings. But basically, give me a couple that you think it's either as good as, maybe one or two that's above it, one or two that's below it, just to get a sense of where you put it.
So it's definitely not as bad as like Thor the Dark World and the Incredible Hulk and like all those movies, but I would put it on par with like Ant-Man and the Wasp or like the first Ant-Man. Like it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like the bottom of the second tier.
I was going to say there's like four or five that are without question like the worst ones, right? So there's like Iron Man 2, not in any order, but Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, The Incredible Hulk, Thor 2. Those are four that anything that's on the screen now is going to be better than that.
Yes.
And then I also think it's better than the first Thor. I think it's, well, yes, I do. I think it's better than the first Captain America. I think it's better than Ultron.
Do you know? I do.
I have it. I think it might be. I didn't like Doctor Strange as much as everybody else.
I think Doctor Strange visually was one of the most compelling movies they've made.
It was visually stunning. It was visually
crackers, as you would say.
I think, though, and this isn't even a huge knock on the movie, but I would probably have it like 12th or 13th. Like, I'm with you. I think it is like.
It's right in the middle.
It's in like the Ant-Man range.
Yeah, it's right in the middle.
But all the movies that came out the last couple of years, with the exception of Ant-Man and the Wasp, because I would put that with that. But like the other Spider-Man Homecoming and Black Panther are both much better.
Much better.
And those are more recent origin stories.
It's because they have men in them.
No, it's true. So, I prefer a male superhero and actually only male characters.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see a woman character on the screen again. I also looked at it like this. Now, these are the extremes, but I thought it was a bit Guardians of the Galaxy meets Green Lantern.
Yeah, and you said, I was like, you texted me that, and I was like, that's kind of both ends of the spectrum.
First of all, and it's not, Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite MCU movie, and Green Lantern obviously is a pile of trash, but when you take what the character does and like the whole idea of like Earth and outer space and everything and the origin story of it, it's definitely closer to Guardians than Green Lantern, but it needed to do something to sort of pull it down from it being Guardians.
It's like if Green Lantern was good, this would be what that movie is.
Yeah, that's another good way of putting it. So what would your hashtag dork score be?
4.
So we're very similar. I left the theater thinking 4.5. And I knew like if I was going to be talked into one direction, it would be 4, not 5. But right now I'm at 4.5.
Yeah. I was leaving the theater. I was at 4.5 and having time to think about it. I saw it Friday night. I saw it opening night on International Women's Day. So
yes,
which was great.
Well, I hated that, but I gotcha.
Yeah, when's International Men's Day?
Every day, dude.
Every day. It's every day.
It's every day.
So leaving the theater, I was smiling. My wife actually asked me what score I would. She asked me now.
Yeah,
my dork
smart,
score.
Smart.
And I said 4.5. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, it's probably more of a 4.
Yeah.
Because it was probably about 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, they could have trimmed
some
of it, sure.
One action scene away from being a 5.
Yeah, so I'm going to lock mine in right now at 4.5. We'll see how the rest of the episode goes. Maybe
I'm going to say 4.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that gives us an aggregate score of 4.25.
It's funny.
So we do quarter stones now.
Quarter stones. Why not? Break them all up. It's funny that your wife asks you, because I always ask my wife after we watch a movie. I go, what score would you give it? And she goes, out of how many? I'm like,
6.
I'm like, we've only been doing the podcast for 4 years, which I know you don't listen to, but you got to at least know the scoring metric.
Got to know the lingo. Got to know the lingo.
She's like, all right. 2, and she always grades very hard, as you know.
Yes, she does. She hates everything I like.
Correct. There is a mid-credit scene and an end-credit scene. That's sort of par for the course at this point. So we'll get into both of those coming up in the spoilers, but so obviously stick around for those. It's definitely a theater movie for me because it's an MCU movie, and you know it's not going to be available prior to Endgame, right? Endgame's coming up around the corner, so you've got to see it in the theater.
Yeah, and they did say that this will be the very first movie released on Disney Plus. Like the first of the movies that are like, it will never go to Netflix. It'll never go to any other streaming service other than Disney Plus.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Anything else non-spoiler you want to hit on?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
All right. Spoilers. Ryan, let's begin very quick. Not even about the movie, but instead of the normal opening montage they do with the Marvel and the flip, 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 flip,
flip, flip, flip. Yeah,
they did
good sound effects.
They did a full Stan Lee montage, which was pretty sweet.
Yep.
I like that.
That was pretty sweet. Yeah. And they had the thing in the black screen. It just said, thank you, Stan, which I thought was, one, it was missing a comma.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I don't want to get into grammar police here, but it's like, thank you, comma, Stan.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't do that.
Okay.
But it was fine. It was clean looking. I thought it was a very nice touch.
Did people in your theater clap for that?
They did not.
Oh, got a real good ovation in my theater.
Well, the girl next to me and my wife went, aww. So that was about it. That was about it.
You hear people whispering, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead now.
Who? Or one guy's like, who's that?
Who's that guy?
Yeah. No one did that. But
no.
It was like, just kind of like a couple like, aww.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, we got a pretty good, I would say more people clapped than didn't for that.
Yeah.
They really whipped him into a frenzy. Then also, later on in the film, you get a Stan Lee cameo. He's on a bus. And Ryan, he's reading the script to Mallrats.
Which is a great nod, especially given the time. I don't think it lines up chronologically, like when she says she's there. That's an issue I had with this movie, like the time.
Timing is
a little muddy.
Time could be a little off. Now, I was doing the math on that because part of the movie, it says specifically 1989. And
yes.
Then when she gets dropped into the Blockbuster, they also reference later on something about 6 years later, which my math puts you at 1995, which is when Mallrats came out.
In October of 1990. So it could have been
Early 95. And then he was getting, maybe he was on his way to filming. You know what I mean? So
it looked like if it took place in LA or like in the West Coast, it looked about to be about April or May.
Yeah, but
you know, so
do you think they filmed it there or because I bet they didn't actually film in Jersey, right?
No,
probably not. Well, anyway, but I like the Mallrats thing. And then Kevin Smith, friend of the podcast, was very emotional about it.
Very emotional. I saw him on Twitter. He was crying. He cried.
Yeah, he cried. People cry, Ryan. I don't know why that's a big deal. People lose their minds. But he did put himself, which I like. So now Kevin Smith, Mallrats, is in the MCU in a way.
Which is crazy. Yeah, that's awesome. But if you look at the picture of him that he put on Twitter and Instagram, probably run a comb through your hair next time you do that.
Listen, that's not what it was about, Ryan. You know?
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. Did you like the old switcheroo, the old Krees are the good guys, Skrulls are the bad guys? Oh, wait, hold the phone. Skrulls are the good guys, Krees are the bad guys.
Well, you kind of knew, like, not to bring in the sports world, not to talk sports here with you, but
go ahead.
It doesn't matter how good a stuff a pitcher's stuff is. If he's tipping his pitches, he's going to get hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're tipping your pitches a little bit when you have Jude Law interacting with Ronan.
Yeah.
So you have those two interacting throughout the show. Like, wait, isn't Ronan a bad guy? And then you're like, oh, like you're kind of tipping it a little bit.
I also don't think I could see Jude Law as a good guy on his own.
No, I think he doesn't really play
a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, the dude, Korath, who was hunting Peter Quill at the beginning also of Guardians.
Technically a bad guy. Yeah.
Right. So you're like, I don't know what's going on here.
He winds up working for Ronan. So it's, he does. You know.
Which I do like. So that's another reason. Like, there's a lot of Guardians tie-ins, obviously.
Yeah.
Without any of the Guardians. But you do get Ronan, you get Korath, and Krees and Skrulls and the whole thing. Because normally, like, shape-shifting is really sweet, but if a lot of people can shape-shift, like, that can get out of hand, where you're like,
but it was really guy. Funny.
Yeah.
Like, Ben Mendelsohn, who was super funny.
He was what I was talking about, like, the person who carried the comedy. He played, was it Talos or whatever?
Talos. Yeah.
He was, as, like, the Skrull main guy, he was great in the movie.
And they're like, so everyone can do this? Well, you have to practice. Like, yeah, there's people who are like, you know. So I thought that was actually really funny.
He was really good, and I kind of like that twist because the Skrulls are so gross looking, but yet they're the good guys, and all that other stuff is going on. So Ryan, the absolute biggest question going in, and perhaps why some have called this the most anticipated movie of 2019, was this question. Does this movie answer the question, why did Nick Fury wait so long to page Captain Marvel? Your answer would be...
not really.
I 100% agree. In fact, I would say no, it does not. The cop-out, I think it's what they would say, or what people defending it would say, is she hands him the pager, which we see obviously at the end of Infinity War, and she's like, only in case of emergencies.
Like... there were a couple of emergencies that she probably could have been made aware of.
Wouldn't you think specifically the events of the Avengers where aliens are coming out of the sky to attack New York?
Yes.
That maybe that would have been an emergency.
And Thanos was involved and Infinity Stones were involved both times. You're like, you should probably give her a heads up. Give her a quick little, drop her a line.
Because this was, again, so Nick Fury and rookie Agent Coulson, which we'll get to both those guys, but so they're young, SHIELD's barely a thing. They have obviously not started the Avenger Initiative, which we'll get to as well, but they kind of had a feeling that these things may exist, but they had no idea. And so they come across Captain Marvel, and at first they don't even believe her where she's from, but then they get convinced pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy sell.
It was kind of a convenient thing.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, when you're going up against aliens, like, oh, that's right. I remember the alien person that I knew that was super powerful and was a good guy. Maybe I should call them. And so, unfortunately, like, that's not a Captain Marvel issue, like this movie that we're talking about, but it's a greater MCU movie which is tough.
A rare slip up.
Yeah, they've had a couple. Like, they fucked up the timeline in Spider-Man Homecoming when they said what year something was. And you're like, hold on. But this is tough because you try to shoehorn things in. Like, I know Star Wars has dealt with this too, where it's like you put something in and then you're like, well, this movie, clearly they could have just done that, you know? And I just feel like he was holding on to that pager since 1995. And
yes.
he only did it when he saw people disappearing.
And how do you know she's still there? If the snap took out half of existence, there's no guarantee that she's still around.
Yeah, that's also true.
You know?
Yeah, so you don't really know for sure, but I guess it's a 50-50 shot that she's going to respond. Right. Also, riddle me this. If he hit that button and... Actually, what was Fury doing in Ultron? Was he still around?
He was kicked out of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Winter Soldier. There was no more S.H.I.E.L.D. So remember, he was just kind of acting on his own?
Oh, yeah. Because I was going to say...
So he might not have had it?
Maybe he didn't have it, because I was going to say, could Captain Marvel have saved everybody in Sokovia?
Well, that's the thing. The one thing I was thinking of is, like, Sokovia, like, you're going to destroy the entire Earth. Like,
right.
You probably should have
called her, Captain Marvel. I would have given Captain Marvel a buzz at that point.
Yeah.
Maybe just reached out to her. And that's my other question is, she was like, hey, I'll be right back to her friend... Photon there or whatever, and the daughter who was like obsessed with her. She's like, hey, I'll be right back. Did she ever come back? Like, do we know? Did she ever check in? And then if she did, Fury never told any of the other Avengers about her. Wouldn't he have fucking said something to her? Like, wouldn't he have said something to Iron Man or Captain America?
Nick Fury likes to keep his cards close. I can't even talk today.
He keeps his cards close to the vest. I know. I hear you.
I can't talk for shit.
No, but so that was the biggest thing going in. And maybe it was too distracting for me and people that aren't as obsessed with the timeline, although those people aren't listening to this because the people who listen to this are obsessed with all these little details. But I'm just watching. I'm like, all right, let's go. How are they going to explain this away? And they don't. And you're like, all right, where's she been? And maybe I need to watch all the other movies again and see if they give any clues, specifically ones, you know, when Nick Fury is talking about aliens, because they know Thor and they embrace Thor. But I'd be curious to go back and listen to if he says anything like, well, it doesn't look like, or he kind of resembles so-and-so, or can you do this? Because I know someone who can do this. Like, none of that stuff probably happened.
Well, he does say, so I went back, I've been going back now and watching all of these movies again.
Yeah,
which
is,
there are things that are said throughout these movies that they're just starting to make sense now. So like in the very first Iron Man, when you see Nick Fury for the first time, he says something to Tony Stark to the effect of like, do you really think you're the only one?
Right. So that's good. I like that.
You know, like, he could be talking about Captain America. He could be talking about,
right,
you know, Thor, but he's just like, you realize that this is weird. This is a thing.
Well, and because it was in Iron Man 2 when they had, like, you could see in the background, they had a thing where basically they were keeping tabs on people, and one of them was in Wakanda.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, I mean, they've definitely given, like, little clues, but I'm curious specifically with Captain Marvel how many there are. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be cool if you, like, look at a scene and, like, Nick Fury does a thing where he, like, flaps his coat out and you can actually see the beeper on him?
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
Like, that would be pretty sweet.
It's just they didn't, like, it's not good enough for me. Like, they got to clear that up a little
bit. No, it's, there's some suspension of disbelief going on here because we're so close. And I think they're like, well, we're so close to Endgame. Like, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
So, like, let's just get it done, you know?
Now, we did get the Tesseract, Ryan, once again. So
again, that goddamn Tesseract keeps showing up.
So here's the history of the Tesseract as best as I can decipher it. So again, because we see it, and again, this movie takes place in the 90s, so you got to sort of jump around. But the first time we ever saw the Tesseract was in the post-credits scene in Thor, and S.H.I.E.L.D. has it in the cube, and they bring that dude Selvig in, and Fury's like, hey, can you take a look at this? But like Loki is fucking around with Selvig's head.
Yep.
So we know that S.H.I.E.L.D. has the Tesseract in 2011. Now, the first full film where the Tesseract is in is Captain America, which came out a few months after the first Thor. And Red Skull, he tracks it down in Norway. He then uses it to make weapons for Hydra. So that's 1942.
Yes.
Red Skull then at the very end of the movie grabs the Tesseract, and you can't do that. So he is teleported to Vormir, where we then see him 7 years later in Infinity War, and that was a crazy moment. The Tesseract then gets lost, like gets burned through like the plane or whatever, and drops to the ocean, and it's later found by Howard Stark. So we don't know between 1943 and 1989, which in 1989 we know that it's in Project Pegasus, which is like the NASA Air Force thing. We don't know how long Howard Stark had it, but you have to imagine he used it to make a lot of his shit, right?
My guess is sometime.
I would say so, too, like a decade. The Tesseract, obviously, it helps Carol get her powers, too. Like, that's where all, like, that whole little scene. And again, it's like a classic old-school comic book. Oh, gamma rays, or, toxic spider. Like, it's that kind of shit, but whatever. That's fine.
But didn't it was like the explosion
mixed
in the comic book. It's like Mar-Vell and Carol Danvers, like they explode. They were right next to each other when the explosion happened and their DNA combined. And that's why she was like, there was like part of her that was Mar-Vell and part of her that was Carol Danvers. And like they were separate.
Oh, maybe. I don't know a lot about Captain Marvel. I remember I read Civil War II. I thought that was pretty good. She was like a main character in that.
No, so it was like she had like shared memories between like Mar-Vell and her.
Oh, kind of like.
And they were all like all over the place. And that was the split. Like it wasn't Firestorm. Like she just couldn't remember. She had like someone else's memories.
Okay. We also see Goose, the cat, swallow the cube and puke it up.
Formerly
desk.
Chewy.
Yeah, right.
In the
Chewy
comic in the books.
Right, right. So the history of the Tesseract, it was originally Odin who had it, like way back in the day. He had it. He or the Asgardians hid it in Norway. So then Red Skull has it. Then Howard Stark has it. Then there's a big jump forward. But there's actually a scene in Iron Man 2 where Tony is looking through his father's notebook, and there's a drawing of a cube.
Yes.
So that's clearly the Tesseract. 1989, Project Pegasus, Mar-Vell has it. 1995, we know that Goose swallows it. So then between 1995 and 2012, we don't really know what's going on with it. We just know that S.H.I.E.L.D. has it. That's all we know.
It's sitting on Nick Fury's desk covered in puke.
Right. It's one of the most powerful items in the galaxy, and he's just got cat puke on it. So then Loki takes it in New York. That cues really the whole Avengers movie, the first Avengers movie. Then after Avengers, Thor takes it back to Asgard. So then for about 5 years, I think it sits in the Odin's throne room there. And then Loki takes it back when Asgard's going up the shit. And then Thanos takes it from Loki, and there you go. Thanos has it.
And there it is. Now we're up to speed.
That's your Tesseract minute. So, but that was good. I mean, again, they've just a lot of different tie-ins there. I mean, that's a specific one, but all the other stuff was good. What did you make of the soundtrack of the movie?
I had issues with the soundtrack, Richard.
I liked the use of a couple of songs, but overall, I don't think it was super. It wasn't like Guardians of the Galaxy, but nothing really is. Like that's putting the bar up there pretty high.
Well, here's my issue: the song. Every song they picked from the '90s was actually really good, but the problem I have. Is that the times didn't really match up. So again, this was supposed to take place in like 1995.
Right.
And so there's a scene where Carol Danvers has been matrixed by the Supreme Intelligence, right? And the Supreme Intelligence puts on a record and it's Come As You Are by Nirvana.
Right.
She would have had no idea what that song is because that song came out in like 1992. So like that's like an issue I have with that. I'm like, it's like, oh, because it's all supposed to be in like her subconscious, right?
Oh, because you're saying that's she was in outer space when that song came on.
Yes. So and the other one was
No Doubt.
Yeah. So Just a Girl came out in 95 technically. So that would have been like brand. I don't know. But like I think it was just one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, I'm like music dorking and the.
I know, but the soundtrack's more for us. It's not like Guardians where it's like they're also listening to it. So I don't mind that.
Yeah, I mean, the one scene, like I said, she wouldn't have known a Nirvana song
in
her subconscious. Unless she heard it like on the radio when she was driving with Nick Fury. And my wife's like, well, what if they were driving to the base with Nick Fury and she heard it on the radio? I'm like, fine, but that never happened in the movie.
No, it did not. She was rocking a Nine Inch Nails shirt, though, from the preview.
She was rocking a Nine Inch Nails shirt, which I did very much appreciate.
I like that.
One of my favorite 90s bands.
She fell on a Blockbuster, so that was good.
So we're like, oh, yeah, the little member berries there for all us 90s people. Mac and Goo wet themselves when they saw a Blockbuster video.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And what's that stupid movie that Goo never shuts up about? Like the cartoon All-Stars, but the anti-drug movie? He was probably looking for that on the shelves.
Yeah, I saw. So then she shot the head off of the True Lies
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Poster, or not the poster, but like it was like one of those little stand-ups. The Right Stuff, that obviously they showed that movie, clearly.
So that's a movie about Air Force pilots, right?
Yeah, or astronauts, I thought. Isn't The Right Stuff astronauts?
I'm trying to think. Let me see. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scott Glenn, Ed Harris. Right. Yeah, Dennis Quaid.
Goose is obviously named after Top Gun. So you get all that. Oh, so the other thing, too, is at the end where... What was he going to call? Nick Fury was going to call the Avenger Initiative something different.
It
was
the Protector.
Yeah. And then he looks at the photo, and Carol Danvers' nickname is the Avenger.
That's a real thing. That is a real thing.
I have no problem with that. My problem is, so did he tell anybody else like what the fucking initiative was named after?
No.
I just, this is my hang up, and maybe I need to get over it. It's like the Netflix characters never making their way in. But it's like, so he has been... in and out of running the Avengers for the last 7 years. They've had a bunch of missions together. They've talked to each other all the time. But is he like keeping Captain Marvel a secret from them?
Yeah, like he never once thought to mention that, hey, this is the reason we call it this is because of this.
Especially, you know? To like Thor. Like you wouldn't tell Thor about her. There's probably a lot of overlap there.
There's a lot of overlap there.
I don't know. But anyway, I mean, I thought.
And the only other thing I had an issue with is like, they make a joke about it in Ant-Man and the Wasp, but they're like, do you just put quantum in front of anything now?
Yeah. You know, like
if quantum energy, quantum power, quantum whatever, quantum field, like they just add that word to it. And,
quantum,
you know,
quantum.
Yeah.
Ryan, the mid-credits scene, which is really just a scene from Endgame.
Directed by the Russo brothers. Yeah. That's a scene from Endgame.
Was pretty sweet. Now, I mean, I don't know what else you can do. Like, all we care about now, as soon as that movie was over, you're like, I just care about Endgame. And so they gave you a little piece of that. Do you like that? Or would you have rather had something more about her and her backstory? Or
I would have liked, like, my end credit scene would have been her, like, looking down at the beeper. Like, shown what she was doing at the time and then saw the beeper.
Oh, yeah.
And then left.
Yeah, because this,
Because that would have shown like where she's been. Like clearly she's been doing stuff that's more important.
Yeah.
Like, and I would have liked to have known what that was.
So I definitely liked the scene, but like, you know, it's just a part. It's like when they did in Ant-Man. It was just like a scene in Civil War or whatever it was. Remember, it was just like a scene from Civil War, like at the end of Ant-Man with him fighting the Falcon. Wasn't that part of, or no, what am I thinking of? Oh, and he's like, we got a guy. Something like that. It was like, you're like, all right, that's really cool and all, but it's just, it's going to be from the movie. Like, it's not its own thing.
So I'm trying to think, could she have been participating in the Kree-Skrull War?
Yeah. What's the year on that? Do we know?
That's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know like when it happened in the comics, but like,
she could have been.
That's another
that.
Like,
cause she was going to move Ben Mendelsohn and his family. She was going to find them a place.
Yes. And then Ronan is involved in the Kree War because they mentioned that in Guardians.
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to think of like, was she doing that?
Yeah, it could. I mean, it would have to be something very time consuming.
Like, or like equally as important. Like Earth's important to us, but like in terms of the galaxy, like what she could have been doing was a little bit more important.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's more, like while Ultron is like, okay, that's bad. But like, there's major players taking part in like the Kree-Skrull War that she could have been focusing on, which makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I think Ronan and Thanos are more of a threat than Ultron. If I'm going to weigh them against each other.
No, that's definitely true. Yeah. Maybe she knows the kind of what Thanos, but like Thanos doesn't have any of these stones yet, but he's still obviously a threat.
Right.
He's still a bit of an issue, but I mean, overall, like, The mid-credit scene did get me excited. Like, it was cool to see Brie Larson in her uniform looking at those guys. Like, so that's cool.
She looked like she hadn't seen a shower in some time, which was encouraging because, like, she's been busy, you know?
Yeah, right. She didn't have her feet up. Like, she's been kicking some ass somewhere.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool. You know, they're like, oh, all of a sudden, like, whatever that device is, like, the lights went out. You're like, all right, well, something's going on.
Like, and the other thing, too, that was like,
Fury?
Like, nobody knows that's a fucking beeper.
Yeah, it's a beeper.
Like, yeah. You have like War Machine. It's like, oh, it's a modified beeper. No, like, we could do.
Tony's like old. Tony probably had a beeper. He probably had like the first ever beeper. Like, he definitely knows what it is.
Probably invented it.
But there's like, yeah, right. It probably was. Probably a Stark device back in the day. But she just got right in there. Oh, the other thing I was thinking when Talos first, when he like impersonated the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Like going back to that part, I was thinking like, God, it's really easy to infiltrate S.H.I.E.L.D. Like,
super easy.
Anybody's like, ah, I'm going to get involved in S.H.I.E.L.D. now. Like, they don't. How good is S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like,
They're not that good.
They're not
that good. Yeah.
I don't know. And then the end credit scene is just Goose puking up the Tesseract. But
she's going to skip that. I was going to say before the spoilers, be like, watch the mid, skip the. It's like Ant-Man. Like, the mid scene was awesome. And then the last one was just the ant playing the drums. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I didn't mind.
Like, I stuck around for this.
No, but this was better than the ant on the drums.
I guess.
You got to see the Tesseract. So you know for sure that it's sitting on the desk there.
So what I was saying too is Goose kind of provided some comedy too, which was nice.
Goose was
with
funny
Nick Fury
when he finally opened his mouth. Yeah. Oh, so Nick Fury's eyeball.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was. My wife actually said that it was akin to Hot Tub Time Machine, where you're just waiting for the guy to cut his arm, like how he loses his arm.
Yeah, it really was, because he got it a few times. Like, how's your eye? He's like, it's fine.
Yeah, and then you get the accident, he gets cut, and then he gets cut, and then you're like, but the best was when Coulson was like, so you lost your eye, you know, they were the Kree were interrogating you, and you wouldn't give them any information. He's like, yeah, sure, that's how it happened.
Yeah, that's right. So is that a good payoff for you, that the cat scratched his eye?
Oh, it's a Flurkin, it's not a cat. But, you know, yeah.
Well, the Flurkin. Are you okay with the Flurkin doing that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I guess I am. It didn't need to be anything crazy. Like, that.
No.
It's kind of funny. And, like, that cat obviously played a big part of the whole thing. Did you like Annette Bening as Mar-Vell?
Sure.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It was fine. Yeah, but I thought Brie Larson obviously was really good as Carol Danvers. I thought her and Samuel L. Jackson together are really good.
Yeah, and I like that, you know, Samuel L. Jackson's, like, so charismatic that it doesn't really matter. But people were, like, bitching about, you know, Brie Larson being, like, kind of flat in this movie. But I think that's just how the character is.
Yeah.
I think she's just super dry and, like, sarcastic and, you know, and I like the, you know, there's a line in the movie where the guy tells her, like, she needs to smile more. And she almost, like, vaporizes the guy. But I think that's just how the character is. The character's not, like, as bombastic as some of the, like, she's not a Tony Stark. She's not a Thor. You know, she's just kind of like doing her thing, you know?
Now, my prediction, and it has been for a while, and I still stand by it after watching the movie, is that at some point in Endgame, she will have the gauntlet on her hand.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Has to happen.
Or she'll be, well, she's like throwing the Tesseract around like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like she was like holding it and like tossing it to people and they put it in the Fonzie thing.
Right.
But a lot of people were holding the Tesseract that, it kind of bothered me.
Yeah, right.
Like it eats through the bottom of a plane, but a Fonzie lunchbox can hold it.
Man, it's a well-crafted Fonzie.
Yeah, lunchbox. Must be. Must have a lot of lead in it or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything else that stood out to you about the film, either like best stuff or worst stuff?
Like I said, the comedy, it's a lot more comedy than I thought it would be.
Yeah, they had jokes.
And for all the talk about, you know, Me Too and, you know, women and all that stuff, it really doesn't, it towed the line. Like it really didn't hit you over the head with a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Which is fine. It made its point and it was fine. So for those of you who are not seeing it because you don't want to see like women do well for whatever reason.
Yeah. There's not enough male superhero movies.
Yeah. It doesn't really do that. Like that's the other thing that I was confused about where people were so outraged. Like it's not that bad. Like obviously there's some stuff that's like right on the nose, but
now I am a little surprised, like, for the MCU. Like, I know there's been other movies, like, Elektra had a movie, Wonder Woman had a movie, Catwoman had a movie. But, like, standalone movies, if before all these came out, and, like, we were talking, like in high school, and I was like, which female superhero do you think will have her own movie? Like, Captain Marvel would be, like, number 50 on my list.
Oh, and yeah, it wouldn't even be close. I think you have, like, if you asked me then, if you asked me 20 years ago, I would have been like, I want to see
Storm?
A Storm movie. Yes, or I want to see Rogue. Dark Phoenix. Now I don't want to see Dark Phoenix,
they've kind of ruined it. But, like, Storm, Rogue, Jean Grey. The X-Men have always had really good, like, Psylocke. Not that she would have her own movie. But
if you asked me before it came out, I would have loved to have seen a Catwoman movie. I would have loved to have seen
Black Widow.
Not even. Like, no. I was
She-Hulk.
I do want to see She-Hulk.
Yeah, yes. Don't you think? Didn't you? Was it you that said Gina Carano could play She-Hulk?
She could.
Yeah, she'd be good. That'd be a good one.
What else?
What
but
other?
Now we know that she can't because she's Angel Dust in Deadpool, and that's technically in the same universe now. So
yeah, well, they could maybe get around it. What about
make her green?
Like you could do. Like Black Canary, like Green Arrow and Black Canary. And like Ant-Man and the Wasp was sort of like a step forward. And the Wasp was better in the movie than Ant-Man was.
It should have, we say it all the time. It should have been the Wasp and Ant-Man.
Right. But they were probably afraid. It wouldn't be as good.
Well, since it's a sequel, you have to lead with Ant-Man.
Yeah. Harley Quinn, Suicide Squad should have just been called Harley Quinn. And then they should have made the whole thing about her.
Well, yeah. And then they cut out like half her shit.
I know. Listen, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right,
Ryan. I don't know what you're going to do.
Anything else on Captain Marvel? You're giving it a 4. I'm going to stick.
You're giving it 4.
I'm going to stick 4.5 for now, but I could definitely see it being a little bit lower. But overall, good. Overall, enjoyable.
Overall, good.
Bring on Endgame, we say.
Bring it on.
All right.
In a month.
Yes. Let's get to the pick of the pod.
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 All right, Ryan. Kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal.
I will receive this week. I purposely left this out of my video game minute because I wanted it to be my pick of the pod. But for all of you Capcom fans out there, I want to tell you from the horse's mouth, Devil May Cry 5 is awesome.
Okay.
I tweeted out a thing. There's a secret level where you can kind of like ride around on stuff, and there's like a little obstacle course. There's like little secret levels you can go to. But one of them, once you get on like this like rocket thing, the song Superman by Goldfinger kicks in.
Yeah.
Which is a nice little nod to Tony Hawk.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Which is awesome. And you have to like ride this little like rocket skateboard like all over the place.
Nice.
Like to get to where you're going. So I thought that was a nice little touch from Capcom.
All right. Pretty good. Ryan, yeah. I have two quick ones for you. One, we mentioned it last week, but on HBO, it's a 4-part series, The Case Against Adnan Syed. I always say it wrong. Adnan Syed.
Adnan.
So anyway, you see there's a guy on Twitter, or at least he used to be on Twitter.
His name used to be.
Adnan Schefter. And it was he would try to like be a fake Schefter account, but it was a picture of Adnan and it said Adnan Schefter. And he would tweet out like, Le'Veon Bell to the Bucks. And you're like, what?
Ant-Man Schefter.
Yeah. Ant-Man Schefter. So the first part was this past Sunday. And so if you saw the first, or if you listened to the first season of Serial, it's all that stuff. But they also had Hay Lee's diary, and they're like reading from that. And they do some weird like animation that goes along with it. So it's a little odd, but.
Yeah. The problem now is like, it just came out in the news like this week that he's not getting a retrial.
I know. I was like, save it for the end of the documentary.
So that like kind of ruined like, all right, now I don't have to watch this because it doesn't matter. You know?
I mean, this dude's been in jail for 20 years already.
Yeah.
Like the podcast is relatively new, but he's been in jail for a long ass time.
Yeah.
Like he's just like a little bit older than us, I think. And he's been in there.
Ant-Man.
For a while. Ant-Man Syed.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to watch the other three, see how it goes. Also, this would not be a pick for the women haters out there, but I just started reading. It's been out for a while, but Brian K. Vaughan, who did Saga and some other really good ones, have you ever read Paper Girls?
I have not.
So I'm reading the first volume right now. It's about these, like, there's four paper delivery girls that takes place in, like, the late 80s.
Yeah.
And something kind of crazy happens, and they're left to kind of make sense of it all. It's pretty crazy early on, though.
Riveting.
I don't want to give it away. They got to read the news, and they got to solve the crossword. Yeah.
One of them falls off the bike, and they need to tell her mom. Riveting.
It's about as crazy. They run out of papers. They say, what do we do? How do we deliver the news? So then they put it in a play and they tell everybody what happened.
A dog runs out in the street. There's a bad paper boy who's throwing papers at them.
Right.
Like the game. It's actually the game paper boy is and what then, it is.
There's a dog. Here comes a dog. Guy jacking off. Guy running out with a gun.
And then at the end of the street, inexplicably, there's a kick-ass BMX track.
And then, you know, if you miss the house one day, they paint their house the next day, and then you don't have to throw them the fucking paper anymore.
It's crazy.
Hey, real quick, all of a sudden they got a red house up. Don't throw it to them. It's all good. So that's that, Ryan. Next week, I believe we have a free play because the week after is going to be Jordan Peele's Us, which is currently rocking a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I've heard nothing but good things about this, so
I'm excited for that. So next week we'll figure out something good for next week. Also, don't forget the live show at Idle Hands in Malden, April 7th, where we'll be previewing Endgame. I'm sure we'll also be talking a little bit about Captain Marvel there, but we'll preview Endgame, even though it's a few weeks prior to the release. It's never early enough to start talking about Endgame. So that is April 7th, 3:00 start time. That's a Sunday afternoon, so come on out to Idle Hands. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes, #dork. We love it when you do that. You can tweet us at Dork Podcast, where you can vote on the Dork Madness all month long. YouTube.com/DorkPodcast. You can check out the latest from our buddy Shime Time, recapping Game of Thrones. He's going to do every season. Currently up on the YouTube, we have season 1, 2, and 3. You can email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And you can watch Davey play video games and interact with him on the Twitch.
We'd be twitching. Yeah. Sometimes we play video games. Sometimes we don't. Now I fixed a guitar last time and played it. That was super fun.
Yeah, that was a good time.
That was a good time.
You never know. You never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get. You might get some Devil May Cry tonight. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. Or maybe like some Apex. You want to run some Apex tonight?
We'll play a little bit of Apex, sure.
Let's do it.
I could do some Apex. All right, Ryan. I would say another perfect episode.
Nailed it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.